This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience, rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Welcome back to Threshold. I'm really glad to be back here with Stephanie Slevin, a talented but emerging songwriter. Perhaps, Stephanie, you could talk a bit about the particular challenges of the modern songwriter. This is probably the first time in history that an independent artist has had such an opportunity to be at least present and to present their works to the world through the power of the internet. Yet that doesn't turn out to be so easy. As a matter of fact, although it's eminently possible, but to actually break into earning money, the need to support a career and getting the recognition you need, that's a big challenge, isn't it?
It is a big challenge, and it's very, very difficult. But you have to keep putting your stuff out there, and eventually you'll start to meet like-minded people and you can team up. Because no matter what your talent, you have to do the hard work and you need help. Because I think everybody needs help to get their foot in the door. But eventually, if you keep pushing, believe in yourself, them doors will start opening.
I also think that there's a sort of, like we were talking about before, a certain spiritual dimension to this, a certain sense of trust, a certain, even as we speak of in the introduction to Threshold, even better, a kind of spiritual awareness that we all have access to, but we often don't realize it. By trying to participate on this other level, I think it makes manifestation much more possible, because we are meant to be spiritual beings, not just human beings. We're meant to have an experience of this life, not just in this world, but in another world. Like the Sufis say, Dardanya Bash, Astanya Bash, to be in the world but not of it. Something, a saying that's also mirrored in the teachings in the New Testament. Well, here's a song about some of your inner struggles in this process of learning to perfect yourself and who you are. Tell us about the real me.
The real me is about the hard struggles in my life and the better things that are coming, the good things that are coming, and how I'm overcoming hurdles and obstacles. So it's a bit about the bad struggles and the good things, a bit of both, mixed emotions.
So it is, I think this is... This is something that every real artist experiences, and it's more confusing now in some ways, because before you just depended on, you tried to get a hold of a manager, or you tried to get a hold of a record company, record label. But now you can actually do a lot of this yourself, but yet you're up against tremendous odds, tremendous competition to actually move into a zone of personal survival. So let's hear the real me.
They say you can take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of me. But why would I want you to? For that's the real me. And I was laying outside, and I laid down in the gutter, and I was quiet for some time, for I did not but stutter. I was not alone, for I lay there with another, and I bathed him in my tears, for he was my tongue-tied baby brother. But they took me to the dark side, they made me feel the pain, they threw me on the dampened floor, bound my hands in chains. They bound my mother freaking hands in chains. They say you can take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of me. But why would I want you? you to, for that's the real me. And I met a man who I clearly did not see, for he was a well-respected member of a blinded community. And I was one against an army, I did so by fear. Yes, I was one against an army, but look, for I'm still standing here. They took me to the dark side, they made me feel the pain. They threw me on the dampened floor, bound my hands in chains. They bound my mother freaking hands in chains. Can take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of me. But why would I want you to, for that's the real me. When I buy a pad, I'm gonna buy it above the station. I'm gonna put out all my music and astound the whole goddamn freaking nation. They never gave me the time, never gave me the chance. So now I'm gonna give it to myself and show you exactly how I dance. They took me to the dark side, they made me feel the pain. They threw me on the dampened floor, bound my hands in chains. They bound my mother freaking hands in chains.
What a powerful song that is. Oh my goodness. My mother freaking hands in chains. Terrific.
Yeah, I didn't want to say, so I just said freaking.
Well, that's nice of you. Well, that says something about the internal struggles that people have, that you experience when you're facing the reality of what you have to do. So tell me something, you know, looking at Robert Hall or London Riots and other songs that you've written, where you show a kind of sympathy for what some would say is very powerful antisocial and controversial behavior, have you ever experienced some blowback from some of your more controversial songs? People ever gotten annoyed?
I've had a lot of support on all of my songs, and I won an award for Joseph Hall. I reached the finals. A couple of friends have said to me, why are you writing songs about child murderers or murderers in general? I said, well, I can't choose the way my talent goes. I could watch a million shows and maybe only get two songs out of sad shows. I can watch happy shows and I'll get nothing. So I think God gives us all with talent, and we just have to use it and we have to put it out there. So I said to my friend, I have to put out what's there. Otherwise, I'm going against my gift, what I'm given.
Yes,
that's just the negative thing.
And the gift is more than just it's more than just the ability to create song, but it's to create a certain kind of message. I mean, you're talking about something, a real form of, it's ambivalent, but it's very cruel injustice that happened to this small boy, even though he did, in a sense, a terrible thing.
Yeah.
There were other factors, and you know, he couldn't really possibly be treated as an adult like that. That is very sad. And yeah, a lot of times a child will not even really know what he's doing when he's holding something like a weapon, which he's probably never used or held before, and probably doesn't understand. And maybe he did understand, but it's just good that we're not here just in the business to make music, but to also deliver messages sometimes. Another song, which you wrote about a famous singer-songwriter, Robert Johnson, coming from his own perspective, really tells a lot about an artist wanting to tell it like it is. Tell us a little about the song Gifted. Also about the strangely spontaneous way that you actually wrote it.
Yeah, it was strange the way that came about. My daughter came home from school and started talking about Robert Johnson, the blues singer. And I said, well, I don't really know much about him, but I'm intrigued by what she was telling me. So I rung up my friend, Michelle, and over the phone, she played me his songs. And it was during listening to one of the songs that she played two, I wrote a song over the phone The music and the words came over the phone as she was playing the tune to me. And that's how it came about.
I guess I want to know the phone number of that, that person. Or maybe that connection. Maybe that phone number isn't so easy to find. But
he's a very good friend of mine. He's actually listening to the show now.
Oh, terrific. Well, I want to, we're going to be going to our next commercial break, and I want to play this this song that addresses the problems that sometimes afflict extraordinary artists. Can you tell us a little bit about Robert Johnson?
Yeah, well, he's a blues singer, and he was meant to have sold his soul to the devil, and that's how people said he got his talent. But my song shows it's the opposite to that, and it just came over the phone. It just came natural, and that's why I went with the song.
Yeah, that's such an easy cop-out, isn't it, to say somebody's work comes from the devil when you may disagree with it. But he was one of the big pioneers in the blues genre. Anyway, let's play Gifted.
They say you're gifted. You must have got your gifts from the devil. Your lyrics uplifted.
century, El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
This is Johnny Bluestar. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welsh for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed. Well, this is really exciting to be back with you, Stephanie. You know, I think that sometimes that life is sort of like a school, and sometimes we feel really close to our Creator. We feel enlightened and comfortable, but sometimes suddenly we're lost. We're having to make decisions. We don't really get clear messages. We don't know what to do. And sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes can go over a long period of time. We kind of deviate. So I think sometimes that the reason this happens is because this is a school. We're kind of taught something, and now you got to apply it. And if it doesn't work out, well, you can make some terrible mistakes, but you're supposed to learn from those mistakes and get back on track. And I would like to, there's a song that you wrote about when sometimes you lose faith in yourself. Tell us about the circumstances that led to the song, I'm Sorry.
I'm Sorry is a song. I felt guilty for not using my talents years ago. I always felt that God abandoned me, but I was wrong, I abandoned myself. And because I feel guilt, it's kind of like repentance as well. It's like guilt on a higher plane. So I wrote a song to say that I was sorry, because I've always believed in God. I just didn't really believe in myself. And that's what it's about.
And you know, I think that God wants us to believe in ourselves, and that it's... there is a certain amount of free will in our lives. In other words, he wants us to make the right choices. And sometimes if we don't make them, we have to learn. We have to learn through life and experience to get back on track and to make those right choices again. Anyway, this is another, I don't know what song I like better of yours, Stephanie. I'm not sure what to say because I like so many of them. As a matter of fact, I actually like all of them. But many of them have had a very strong impact on me, and that's why you're here. But let's play I'm Sorry.
Thank you. You have been there for me all along. You were right, I was wrong. I was so weak and you were strong. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I abused the talent you had given me. For in my dark despair I could not see the precious gift you'd given me. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I thought that you had abandoned me. I never felt I was worthy. Until in dream you came to me. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I end this song and thus my dark despair. I need not pray to you upon my stay. For I am here and I know you are there. And I'm sorry, so sorry.
You know, it's that's such a powerful song too. Very short, very much to the point. But you know, let's talk a little bit about the sense that we both feel, I think, about the responsibility we have to our talent. So there are other people there. There are people listening to us right now who are artists, different kinds of artists. Maybe they're even in different kinds of creative professions. They're scientists or even lawyers. And they're just kind of feeling like, what am I doing with my life? Am I doing the right thing? What do they do? What would you say, recommend for somebody who feels really lost?
Well, personally, because I'm such a believer in God, I always turn to God to give me strength and give me hope. And I put my trust completely in his hands. I mean, he gives us all, but we have to do the hard work. We have to put it out there and keep going and going until we get the recognition we deserve. And just keep putting our stuff out there. And eventually, we'll open doors and people will start to see what we're doing. You can get lost. You can think, I'm not getting anywhere. But you're going to have your bad days. But you just have to go through them and keep the faith and keep going.
You know, in pursuing my own spiritual adventures, of which there have been many, because I studied many different spiritual activities, religions, and so forth. I found that despite, no matter how much spiritual awareness I had from one time to another, there was a time that I just had to get down and pray because I just got lost. And I don't think there's anything wrong. There's something they call the prayer of unity, where you try to unify with God's spirit, sometimes called meditation, different words for it. But there's also the prayer of petition, where you ask God to help you. And I'm not ashamed to say that I do that all the time.
Yeah, you said you might do as well.
It gives me a great deal of comfort, Stephanie. I mean, I just say, okay, I've been trying to become, you know, get in touch with you, God, but I don't know what to do. And I've got this problem. And is it okay? You know, I know now that it's okay for me to just get down there and pray for whatever I need. And I don't do it just for anything. I try to be sensitive to that spirit inside of me. But sometimes I'm just lost. And now I want to say something about this next song. This next song is just another one I love. It's just so clever and so wonderful, and I know that you've gotten a lot for it. A lot of recognition for it. Tell us a little bit about I Know You Love Me the Most.
Oh, well, that's just about a song about someone I had feelings for, and they had feelings for me, but we both came from different walks of life, and it just wasn't really going to work out. And I've put a little humor in it as well, so a lot of people really like that song and can relate to it. So it's
well, just awesome. Like, you're so soft-spoken, you know, you're so easy to talk to. I've talked to you a lot, but your songs are so powerful, and this one is just extraordinarily, it's funny, and it's powerful, and it's just very interesting. Here we go with I Know You Love Me the Most.
Thank you, Johnny.
I may have marmalade on my toast and you may have your caviar. I may walk to work in my second-hand shoes and you drive in your fancy car. I'm down here and you're up there. You're giving me the looks like you don't care. But they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. I know by the way you stare at me that deep down inside you care for me. You may drink champagne to my cup of tea, but nobody freaking cares. And you say I ain't the one for you, that I'm way down there beneath the view. But look at what your poor shake's done to you, and nobody freaking cares. She took your money and laughed at you, and then slept with all your mates and they were laughing too. So let's kick her to the curb, yeah, me and you, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. Drink in your one night stand, so please don't judge me by your own bad hand. Yeah, stand up straight, just be the man, for nobody freaking cares. And come down off your mighty horse and take a chance on me, and we'll run the course and we'll show the bitch we don't do divorce, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. Yes, I know that you love me the most.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here, there's too many of them!" Again, this other Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra Laflamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra Laflamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra Laflamme at 888-366-8070. You know, we've talked a lot, Stephanie, about this other dimension. And sometimes, you're talking about faith and how it affected you. But you're also interested in it from another standpoint, some of the experiences other people have from this other dimension. And I know that part of this was, you know, perhaps your faith is a result of overcoming some of the extraordinary hardships you experienced as a child. And sometimes your songs all often come from dreams inspired by another vision from another dimension of reality. Tell us a little bit more about your creative processes and where it comes from.
Well, as I say, a lot of things come when I'm watching documentaries or reading about sad stories, but some things do actually come to me in dream. I speak to the dead in dream. I know it sounds a little bit out there, but it's true. And they give me messages, and these messages lead me to places and to people. And some of them are past, some of them are still living. And I just write songs about them and put them out there, so I let my songs speak for themselves. I don't try to tell people anymore how they come. I just put my songs out there and let my songs speak for themselves. I find that's a better way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think that you can circumscribe the amazing ways that God works in people, in dreams, in visions, because there is a great diversity, and I've experienced it myself in many ways. No matter how fundamental, no matter how non-fundamentalist what spirituality is, there's also some real darkness that seems to come from another side. And you wrote about this in a song called The Devil's Within. Tell us about it.
Well, that's a song about a girl that got possessed by demons. And some people believed her, some didn't. And she died as a result of it. And they made a film about it called Emily Rose. So I watched the film, read the story, and immediately the song, the music, and the lyrics came. And that's how that song came about with that one.
So we're going to hear the song called The Devil's Within in just a minute.
It's a true story.
It's true, yeah. And although, you know, things are really strange sometimes, you know, we get a lot of different understandings of things like possession from the movies, like The Exorcist, which is the most famous one. Let's hear the Devil's Within.
Okay.
Body held in captivity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The devil's playing his dirty tricks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The seventh one was God from heaven. For the demons rose, but so did she. Could become a family. The demons rose, but so did she. Her body bound in captivity. Voices all inside her mind, but to her heart God was not blind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The devil's playing his dirty tricks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The seventh one was God from heaven. For the demons rose, but so did she. The devil's hold was plain to see. End of now, I do suppose she died for love, Emily Rose. Her demons rose, but so did she. Her body held in captivity. Though her hands were cold to touch, the Holy Mother showed us much. For her demons rose, but so did she. Her body held in captivity. And of now we do suppose she died for love, Emily Rose. Yes, she died for love, Emily Rose.
Wow. That is very dark in some ways. I don't know what these this type of phenomena means, but there's another type of phenomena, the phenomena of angels. Now, I don't think that people can really get the amount of people in this country, in the United States, that believe in angels. I went to a writer's workshop with all kinds of well-known writers in this publishing house, and I guess this the one topic, the one writer who wrote about angels certainly got a lot of attention. A lot of attention, book after book after book, because people are hungry for a knowledge of angels. I guess you believe in angels too, right?
Well, Johnny, I actually took a picture in a tunnel, and when I looked back at the picture, there's an angel, and I've showed it to many people. I've even got it on my phone, on my Facebook, and people were shocked, and I didn't see her when I took the photo, but when you look back at the photo, you can definitely see the angel in the tunnel. So I took a picture of an angel. Yeah, I do believe in angels.
Well, that's great. Maybe you could send me that picture.
I was going to say that to you. I'll send it to you another time.
I'll post it on threshold.com, which is coming out fairly soon. It's still a little bit unfinished. But yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I've met a lot of people who believe in angels and have had some experiences. And of course, there's a lot of incredible amount of literature about it. Tell us about this song, An Unknown Angel.
Oh, Unknown Angel. That's about a little boy who was found in a box in a deserted lane, and they've never found his name. And he's been there since, he was there 1957, and the police have tried to find his name. Investigators have tried everything to find out who he is, but to this day, he remains unknown. And I saw the story on YouTube, and as soon as I watched the story, it was very, very sad. I wrote the song, and the music came at the same time for that one as well. And that's what that's about.
Well, let's listen to An Unknown Angel.
Okay.
Please could you give my song a listen and support the song, America's Unknown Angel, and comment and share to keep the story ongoing. Thank you, Steph. What can we do? What can we say to make it all better, to make it okay? Little boy lost, no name and no home, begs for an angel to call of his own. And I say, God, send him an angel, for he cannot fly.
Please.
to fly me back home.
Yeah.
How more beautiful can you get than those lines?
Thank you.
You know, we never really discussed it, but the song that you wrote, I Know You Love Me the Most, that we played before, you actually got incredible results in terms of listeners for that show, that song, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been played on 30 stations globally now. And it went
and a lot of these songs, there's been a very heavy repeat request for them, right?
Yeah, everyone seems to really like that song.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's strange, I hear it on the radio and I still can't believe that it's me singing it. It's strange.
But, yeah. You know, you have so many different voices. I mean, I think that anybody who's listened to this will acknowledge that there are many different moods, many different voices. And this, despite the fact we played, I don't know, about 12 songs here, this is only a small part of your cornucopia of sound, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I have many more songs to come and many more voices yet to come as well.
Let us know how people could listen to your songs now. How would they find them?
They'll find me on YouTube or Reverb Nation, where all my songs are and my videos. Most of my stuff's there. You can see my fan base there and Twitter, places like that, you know?
So you'd say that, you know, in all this time that you've been working on the internet, you have actually created a sort of following, haven't you?
Definitely. I mean, it took time. It does take time, and it takes a lot of hard work. And you have to be consistent and keep putting your stuff out there. And
yeah.
I've been for a few years now, and I'm going to keep carrying on as well. Because you meet people as well. You start to team up with other artists and collaborate on certain things. So it's really good, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the internet, if properly used, can be a platform for tremendous things. It also can be a platform for very mediocre things, too. So, you know, I think that the commercial business of music has, in terms of songs, has really deteriorated. But on the internet, there's all kinds of gems right now.
Yeah, we cross paths on LinkedIn. So, yeah. You definitely need to put yourself on a social. I'm not very good at technology, I've got to be honest, but I get help. But it's a great thing to be on because you do get your stuff out there and the right people start to listen eventually. But it takes a lot of hard work and dedication and consistency.
Yes, I know what you mean. Well, we're going to take a break now and we'll be right back and so we can say properly goodbye.
Okay, thank you.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Aaron for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com. New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For our artist, illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of the stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was six. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in his stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Well, Stephanie, tell us something about some of the recent steps you've taken in your career, the challenges you faced, perhaps in the last few months.
With challenges I face, come up with new ideas all the time, keep people interested. But I'm doing that. I'm writing many more new songs. And as you say, different voices are coming along as well. And I'm just getting more used to the social networking because that's a big part of it. And I'm collaborated with a couple of artists as well. And I'm taking steps to make more things come my way and good things are coming and to make more good things happen as well. That's what I'm focused on.
When you deal with your fans on Facebook and Twitter and so forth, do you deal with them personally or how do you interact with them?
I do like to email my fans personally. Every new fan that I get on Reverb Nation, I message them separately. It can take a long time because you can get a lot of fans, but I do like to keep that personal relationship going and thank them.
I think that's very important.
Yeah.
So platforms seem to work best for you as a songwriter to communicate with or develop your fan base?
I would have to say Reverb Nation is one of the best platforms, and it's worked very well for me as an artist because they really are genuine and they help artists and they give you lots of opportunities to submit to things because there's a lot of people out there that are sharks and want to rip you off and they're not like that. So they're definitely there to help musicians, and LinkedIn and Twitter, Facebook, all those sort of sites, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be really on top of things to do this. And you have to also be aware of some of the importance of copywriting your work and getting involved with the right kind of agency. Tell us how it works in Great Britain with royalties.
Well, I copyright all my stuff. It's called a poor man's copyright. You record delivery to yourself. It's the cheapest way to do it. And I'm now with a company called PRS, which all the musicians go with, and they help get you royalties and protect your copyrights. So it should really be with someone like that. Everyone told me about them, so I'm with them now.
So, well, that's good. That's good to hear.
That'll be my advice to musicians as well, you know, to do
well,
that.
No, I really thank you for being on our program, and I think it's important because you shed light on not only the creative center that you have, which is extraordinary, but also that actual practical real world determination. Thank you, and I hope we can meet again in Threshold.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate your time and effort and having me on the show.
So I want to thank you today. I also want to give special thanks to my partners and associates, Patricia Welch and Edgar Ahrens. And finally, a homage to the great Hasan Khan, who has helped me with the websites, YouTube promotions, commercials, and many other elements supporting this show. I can't say enough about how Hasan Khan has really helped me. And, you know, it's exciting to work with all these people who are so cooperative. And I think that Threshold is reaching out to new talent, important voices, people who we can really, really learn to believe in. And next week, we'll have Ray Boylan in, who wrote Boots in Manhattan with me, and I edited his work, West Side Warrior, which I'm very happy to promote. And the week after that, we're going to have a man named Robert Hastings, an author who wrote UFO and Nukes, who has studied the actual interference with our nuclear missile capacities throughout the world by UFOs. That's going to be an extraordinary interview coming up on November 7th. So I hope you'll join us. We will keep the fire burning here for you, bringing you some of the most interesting little adventures on the radio. Join us next week, and we will be hosting an interview with Ray Boylan. Thanks so much for joining us. See you next week.